This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Awesome. Looking forward to this conversation with Josh Inglis. Covers, of course, covers.com. We'll get to that in a second. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So we are at the midway point as far as Major League Baseball. And I've been going to covers forever, honestly. And I didn't realize our next guest is somebody, I'm going to fanboy out here, because I didn't realize his write-ups over at covers were from Josh Inglis. As we say hi to Josh. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Hey, I appreciate the fanboy shout out. What's up, guys? Happy, Wednesday, 28th, in the middle of the MLB season. It's easy just to get lost in the days.
Yep, and you've got write-ups. Of course, you got Milwaukee. We were talking at the Mets. Steve Cohen just came out and gave a presser, said absolutely nothing. You didn't miss anything. We got the White Sox and the Angels. We'll get to your plays coming up in just a bit, but we are at the Major League Baseball, Josh, midway point, and we were going through some of the storylines. Why don't we just throw a few at you, and then you can react. What we saw last night from Shohei, we shouldn't be surprised anymore. He struck out 10 and he hit two bombs. Like, just give an overview on Shohei's year thus far.
No, I'm going to go out there. We haven't talked about any of this at all. So I spent a lot of time in Taiwan, and I started my baseball career writing there. I did some color commentary for the second biggest senior tournament, which is the Premier 12. And I did a year that was Kenta Maeda and Shohei Ohtani, a Shohei at 18. And this was before Kenta got a sniff from the Dodgers. And just that, the sheer excitement of what he was, mm-hmm. was absolutely massive. And it's so cool to see it actual permeate into North American culture and just become as big of an icon as he is. He'll only be as good as he wants to be. This man probably has one of the best drives. He has the best attitude, maybe in all professional sports, and he's going to get 60 sheets a season. I'm all for it. And I don't think there's anybody in baseball that's sitting there hoping that Shohei doesn't do well.
I would agree with you. He is so much fun to watch. I was saying one of the problems is right now, people on the East Coast don't get to see him play because half the games are played so late, Josh.
Exactly. But I mean, a lot of that had to do with him getting decent times back home in Japan. So the West Coast games are on early in the morning, back in Japan, I think about 8 or 9 o'clock AM. So that was obviously a big decision to go out on the West Coast. And like you said, it is a shame. You see it in a lot of sports, especially on the East Coast in hockey. We don't get to see Connor McDavid as much as we should. I think that's probably the only knock. We want to see more of him, and sadly we don't.
Okay, let's keep it going. Storylines and surprises with Josh here as far as Major League Baseball. We talked about Ellie De La Cruz, the Reds, half game up in the Central, the 13-5 since they acquired this kid. But it's not just him. It's McClain, it's Steer, it's Abbott. This is an exciting young team in the Reds, Josh.
How exciting was that series? I can't remember basically in the last 5-10, basically my whole betting life, I don't remember being a fan of baseball watching that Braves Red series. That was some of the best baseball I've watched. And now you alluded to Ellie, obviously, insane tools, the stolen bases, the raw speed. He's starting to get some softer pitches now as the game of adjustments, obviously, in baseball come. But man, there's a lot of other talent. You got Fraley, you got India. There's a pretty deep run, and they run pretty well matchup wise, lefties versus righties. They're an aggressive team, one of the best stolen base team, a great team to kind of look at and maybe do round robin two player at 2 and 3 leg round robin stolen bases. There's a lot to like in Cincinnati.
This team, I mean, right now, there's so much fun to watch. You mentioned with Ellie De La Cruz. We were talking earlier about the MVP voting. Ronald Acuna now is about $1.75, $1.80, maybe even high as $2 somewhere in terms of betting favorite. Do you have kind of points of demarcation, whether it's on a futures bet, on a daily baseball game, that are certain numbers that you won't go past, or you think there's certain points where it's still worth a shot at?
Yeah, I think you get to the point where you'll play those 120, 130, 140s, even if you're looking at like division winners. I think looking last year, I believe it was the Guardians. I think they were up 5 games with maybe 2 months to go, and they were paying plus 120 as the Twins were the favorites. I think it's around that time you kind of take swings as that. I really don't like tying. This is a personal thing. I don't like tying my money up on what, 6 months for plus 130, plus 140. So I kind of lay off something like that at that point. If you've watched Acuna, I mean, he just swipes bags whenever he's on bag. He hits bombs. He had a home run in the first inning, a home run in the second inning yesterday. It's tough not to like him. And sometimes you just have to look at a price and say, missed it at the best price. Just obviously not bet it.
Josh English joins us, covers. He does a great job. We'll get to his plays coming up in just a bit. I want to bring Dustin Sweetelson, our producer, in because Dustin has a very interesting approach to futures betting. Essentially, he bets everybody. He's got futures tickets on futures tickets are coming out of his eyeballs. Why don't you explain, and you've got some great prices, Dustin. Why don't you explain your strategy? I want to get Josh's take on it.
So I like fading when there's like a heavy favorite, like Zach Gallen and Strider was at one point in the NL for the Cy Young. I just like fading guys that I don't think will hold it up, or I think other guys are about as good and could contend with them. So I'm sitting on tickets just from a couple weeks ago of Clayton Kershaw 10-1, Logan Webb 18-1, Marcus Stroman 20-1, Blake Snell 40-1, Elder from the Braves at 70-1. I think someone who is the favorite is too short, I start looking at other options. And by the way, that doesn't mean if Gallen and Strider don't fall to bigger numbers, I'm not going to jump back in on them as well, because I'm betting, my mind says I'm betting the number, not the player.
No, I like that, but I just find it, where is the point where you stop picking players? At what point? You know what I mean? Like, where do you draw that line? As I'm looking, let's say right now I got the American League MVP up, Shohei sitting around minus 800. I mean, do you go five guys to Bichette at 50-1? And then, I mean, then we're in Rutschman Guerrero territory. Do you take shots at those? You might as well, just because they're so long at that point. But I'm sure, I don't know, so I can't be the one to tell you how it works. I'm sure if it's been profitable for you, then obviously that's something to work on. But yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy, I think, in terms of, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know how to calculate theoretical hold and such when we're looking at futures markets. So there is a lot to look at in futures markets, and bettors shouldn't just be throwing money at the board. But I really do like that work because, I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong, especially at this point in the season. I mean, we're talking about Shane McClanahan plus 275. The Rays are so high up in the standings, you could see a phantom injury where he could miss 3-4 starts. He's probably going to go 165 pitches, or sorry, innings this year. Someone like maybe like Gerrit Cole, who kind of gets on, or Gausman at 6-1 might be a better shot. But yeah, kind of fading high numbers is not a bad strategy in the long run.
That's a great question. I've never even asked you that, Dustin. When will you stop? When people stop being born? When they stop birthing baseball players? Because it does feel like you've got a future on every baseball player.
I mean, so last year I was able to be a little more lenient with it because I had a 75-1 ticket on Goldschmidt, and it looked like he was going to win. So I got to bet everyone behind him at 25-1 or greater, you know, to hedge that bet throughout the year. In the AL, though, I will tell you, I lost badly because I faded Aaron Judge. I had everyone else other than Aaron Judge. In the AL Cy Young, I had everyone other than Verlander at like 30-1 or greater, way early. Like, I had a 65-1 ticket on Framber Valdez that came up short. So sometimes it does bite me trying to fade these guys that look like the runaway winner of each of these awards. So it can come back and hurt. The key is you just got to hit one or two. You hit one or two and they're all paid for.
Yeah, it's relative to the payout on, like you said, on Goldie, what, 75-1. I mean, if you're going to win, if you got a chance at winning 25 units on a future, there's probably going to be a pretty big risk involved in, you know what I mean, a couple more units on the other side.
Hey, Josh, do you have a few extra minutes? Because I want to keep you for another segment if you have an opportunity. Are you cool with that?
Absolutely. Mother-in-law's okay. In town taking care of everything, bud.
Okay, so we're going to save you. So we'll get to your bets coming up in just a little bit. Why don't we start here, though, and just talk about your betting menu? We've got about 2 minutes before the break. We'll come back with your specific bets. What would you say percentage-wise now? I see you got a bunch of props you're betting tonight. Obviously, bullpen usage has escalated that first five and full game, kind of the difference there. What would you say throughout a season now, how you're spreading out your bets? I don't need a percentage, but just kind of give us an idea.
All right, well, I'll just run you by my betting process just from waking up first thing in the morning.
Please.
I love using tools. I do a show, release show I covers with Derek Carty, who's a great projectionist, runs the Bat and the Bat X projections. All fantasy baseball players know him. He's the numbers are just insane. The closing line value that I see with his top rated plays day in and day out is insane. So he's making my betting life a lot easier. It's before I get out of bed, throw up his numbers, a place like the first five bets that I see the best EV before I even get out of bed, before I even brush my teeth. So I'm sitting there, sitting with the five best plays I found probably in the morning. I get up as more markets roll out, as like pitcher out markets for guys about 14, 15 outs. They don't open up so early. They come out a little later. There's some more value in the middle of the day. So spend some more time finding some odds, and obviously shopping around helps, especially with some books moving faster than others. And then following that, when lineups come out right about this time, another segment of value opens up. And when tools are available to you and you can just look at plus EV and see the difference in implied versus projected odds, you're saving yourself so much time. And it's been profitable for me this year for sure.
Love it. We're going to come back. Josh Inglis covers Major League Baseball betting analyst at @covers_Josh. And yes, that was a weird flex to not brush your teeth, but bet before you do anything in life when you wake up in the morning. But we love it. That is a degenerate flex if I've ever heard one from Josh. He's got three props. He's got some write-ups. Milwaukee at the Mets, of course, and the White Sox at the Angels. We're coming back with Josh from Covers next here. Sharp Money, it's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, so exciting. We've got our NFL betting guide for 2023 dropping tomorrow, June 29th. Yes, it's early. It's the first time we've done it. Introductory offer, $19. VSiN.com/subscribe. When you head over there, you get the picks, not just the host, but every guest across the network, including Josh. So make sure you sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe. We got the guide dropping tomorrow. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson. I'm Patrick Maher. Josh Inglis joins us right outside of Toronto there. Covers Major League Baseball for Covers. @covers_Josh. Wrote a preview of the Brewers at the Mets. And we were talking a little bit, Josh, off the air before we started the conversation. I got burnt last night with Tehran and the Brewers. The Mets all of a sudden broke out. Give us a thought on tonight's Brewers-Mets tilt.
See, I'm lucky because I wasn't on. I liked Milwaukee a little bit yesterday. We had that like 8-game sample size of Tehran where you're like, maybe he's not as bad as he actually is. And I mean, a lot of people had probably already lost money betting against him over a pretty large sample size. But this is a guy that was pitching in Mexico and the Independent Atlanta League last year. So I don't have that recency bias of losing, but I do like Milwaukee here today. I actually like today's matchup, Miley versus Senga, better than I did Turan versus Peterson, and I'm getting an extra 5 points at the plus 125. I see plus 128, great price there. Mets, 12th game in a row. That's a very uncommon thing, 12th game in a row. The bullpen is absolutely taxed. But Wade Miley, this is a guy who I'm aware that's pitching above his numbers, but this is a guy who even – if he doesn't pitch well, has a good matchup versus a light hitting Mets team. And this is just a guy who can be efficient, doesn't need to strike out batters and can get through. He has the defense behind him. There's issues with Senga. The big thing with Senga here is this is just his second game on 4 days rest. They've been pitching him every 6 days, pretty much all season, except for the game in Toronto, 2.2 innings, gave up 4 runs. So they've been trying to mimic his workload from the MPB in Japan, which is about every 6 days. So we already have a pitcher who has the worst walk per nine in all of baseball that has 70 innings pitched this year. And now we're pitching him on short rest. Rain is projected. And we've already seen earlier this week that those unders can get sunk with mid-inning delays, as we saw earlier in the week. So I'm on Senga under 17 and a half outs. Got it at minus 110. It's moved to minus 150. Anything at minus 150, minus 160, I think is still in play here. 16 and a half at some places. I know another book about 16 and a half, sharp book, 16 and a half, minus 150. So the 17 and a half is maybe worth a little bit of a risk here. And then Milwaukee money line here at plus 125. I mean, the Mets are still the fourth best team in that division. They're 8.5 games out of the wild card, 5 games behind Milwaukee. These are two teams that I pretty much have as a coin flip right now. And I do think this Miley matchup is a little interesting. And I think he's being undervalued here.
Josh, I want to ask you about a play you have tonight. I think it's a pretty good one. Lucas Giolito, under 17 and a half outs recorded. So for people that are unfamiliar, it means he has to go 6 complete innings in this game. It's plus 130, which is a tremendous price. Tell me a little bit about why you like this play.
He's just a 3 true outcome pitcher. And when we talk about, and when we play these out markets, the biggest thing we're looking at and the biggest thing we're betting against is pitch count. I want 18 pitches an inning. Every inning I go into, I want 18, 19, 20 pitches an inning. Efficiency is terrible. And Gio just doesn't have, he's just not efficient. He's a high walk guy. He's a high strikeout guy, and he gives up home runs. So there are a few outs here. Angel Stadium has become a very sneaky hitter's park. Otani did exit yesterday, but he stayed in to hit, so he's good. I know Trout's out, and this is, I don't want anybody laughing at me, Trout's out, but Moustakas and his 800 OPS kind of helps a little bit, okay? I'm not saying he's replacing him, but it does help a little bit, and there's a lot of veteran hitters in this Angels lineup, and LA takes the 5th most pitches per plate appearance, running up a pitcher's pitch count for a pitcher who already needs a lot of pitches to get through his stuff. He does have a long leash, so bettors are fighting against that and likely why we're getting plus money. But projecting, the bats projecting 16.2 outs, so we're getting a better than 50% win rate at plus 130. Play this down to plus 120.
Did you have a thought on the side tonight there with Anaheim?
I really think in the same vein of Miley, we're getting Jamie Barrera here, who's starting. He will go maybe 4 innings. He hasn't pitched in like 9 days. He's made 5 starts, but this is where the line's going. We know how bad the White Sox are. This is not a good team. The Angels really impressed. The Angels went from altitude, came back, won the first 2 games of this series, and have really impressed. If this game goes to the bullpen, which it might, especially if Giolito can't go in the 17 and a half outs, and Barrera has to also go, what, maybe 4, maybe 12 outs, 12 to 15 outs. The Angels have a sneaky good bullpen. There was a bit of a sweat last night with the closer, but he might not be available. But the middle inning relief is a strength of this Angels team, and it's certainly not a strength for the White Sox, who are in the bottom 5 in bullpen ERA compared to the Angels in the top 5 ERA for their relievers. So give me some of that. And here's a sneaky thing, a weird subjective handicap, going back to Lucas Giolito under 17 and a half outs. When we have someone like Barrera, who's probably going to be pulled somewhere in the 4th or 5th inning, we're going to see a parade of relievers from LA. Now, if Gio is sitting at a high pitch count after 5 innings and he has to sit on the bench and the Angels are running out maybe 2 extra relief pitchers and it's a long inning, maybe a 20, 25 minute inning, sometimes pitchers don't come out for it. So there's a non-quantifiable angle when we're seeing high frequencies of pitchers, relief pitchers come in, especially for the outcrops.
Now, when you look at some of these props that you come to conclusions on, I don't know if people are as well-versed as you or, you know, even in the neighborhood of being as well-versed as you. How do you kind of start to break down? Because there's so many different options. How do you narrow that scope a little bit?
Routine and tools. Like I said, the Derek Carty's bad X projections are fantastic. So I start the morning lying in bed. I'll go check out the outs. That's my favorite market to play. I think I have the best edges on that market and understand it the most. Then from there, then I'll go to K's. Then from there, I'll go to hits. Hits under hits has become a fantastic market that's exploitable and has a massive amount of edges. From there, I'll go to ER. I'll go to earned runs. And then from there, I'll go to RBI, stolen bases. You can literally just use those tools and save so much time and go across every betting market that's available. And sometimes you can do that before you brush your teeth.
Josh, I appreciate Patrick, I appreciate him sharing that with us, because so many times people are a little bit reserved about doing that and don't want to kind of allow people to see behind the curtain. So it's much appreciated.
Great. They're not my numbers. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not your proprietary info, but it's a good hack. No, what I'm all saying is it's a tremendous, we're always looking for prop hacks, and that's a tremendous hack. And speaking of props, and you talked about the hits, you got Murphy, Seattle, and Gallagher, Cleveland, both to go hitless. Under a hit, under a half for Murphy is plus 170, and Gallagher is plus 145.
Yeah, we lost Murphy in the first. Murphy was a tough one. We got it plus 170. Obviously, the matchup versus Patrick Corbin, who gives up a ton of hits, is a tough one. But I mean, we got like 30 points. The numbers that he has, the closing line value and the influence on them are insane. But we ended up losing it. But that's fine. I'll take that plus 170. And when you're playing those plus money odds, I mean, you still only have to win 40% of the time to be profitable. So Cam Gallagher, they got rid of Mike Zunino in Cleveland. Now they got Bo Naylor and Cam Gallagher, two terrible hitting catchers right now. Catcher speed hitting 138 versus righties, 154 versus lefties, facing the left-handed pitcher in Cox for Kansas City, who is basically an opener. So when we're looking at these hit markets, the most important part is projecting plate appearances. And when we can project pinch hit risk, which is another number he has, Derek Hardy in the bat projection, we can beat the market. So he's a big pinch hit risk because there's an opener in, and there'll be a parade, hopefully, of relievers here after Cox that could spin Gallagher around. And maybe, I mean, if we can get him that just two plate appearances at plus 145 for under 0.5 hits, sign me up every day. I'm playing that.
Josh Inglis covers Major League Baseball for Covers. You can find Josh on Twitter at @covers_Josh. Josh.
And NHL draft night. NHL draft night. Who's got your draft props?
You do. That's who does. And guess what? It's your lucky day, Josh. You get to now go from talking to us to go hang out with your mother-in-law. So enjoy it.
I can stay. You guys need me. I can stick around a little longer.
Well, you know what? We'll have you on throughout the summer, but we are a family first show. So we want you to go spend time with your mother-in-law. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate the time very much.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks as always. You guys have a great evening into the weekend.
Thank you.
Okay, you too, buddy. Great information from Josh Inglis over at Covers. You can find him at @covers_Josh. Okay, we're just getting started. We've got bets to come, and we're going to close some tabs. Of course, top 10 as well. Plenty to do. Sharp money on a Wednesday. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Okay, bet five to win 150 over at DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app, and when you bet $5, you get $150 in bonuses instantly. But you have to use the promo code VSiN, V-S-I-N. It's very simple. Download the app, use the promo code VSiN. You get $150 when you bet five. We welcome you back here on Sharp Money. Plenty to do. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. So a futures market like the MVP is not my bailiwick. That's why tomorrow, if you're like me and you need some help with it, our very own Zachary Cohen has hooked you up. The Pro Football Betting Guide is dropping tomorrow, and he's got an extensive write-up if you want to bet the MVP this year. Last season, of course, boys, Patrick Mahomes took home his second MVP award of his 6-year career. Now, do you two, just off the top of mind, do you know who the favorite heading into last year's football season was as far as the MVP?
I would have said Patrick Mahomes.
Josh Allen?
Good guess. Josh Allen is the answer. And you take a look at the board. So again, and if you want to go Mahomes to Amal's guess, you know, voter fatigue, and Zachary Cohen does a great job laying this out as well. It's not necessarily a factor because remember, Rodgers went back to back in 20 and 21. So it's not like they're going to ignore Mahomes. So we take a look at the board. Mahomes is 7-1, Burrow 7.5-1. It's just apropos. We were having the conversation yesterday and we both had that exact order, right? As far as our two best quarterbacks, we had Mahomes 1 and then Burrow 2. I had Allen 3. He is third as far as your MVP voting market at 8-1. And then a little bit of a chasm. You go 11-1 on Hurts, 13-1 on Herbert. Lawrence is sitting 14-1. What's fascinating, I want to get your guys' take on this, but what's fascinating is something Dustin said during the break, which I didn't realize. And we're going to have our buddy Femi Abebefe on the show tomorrow, does a great job. We love Femi. And he is a Justin Fields truther. And it may work out for him because Justin Fields has shortened up to 20-1. Dustin, you told me during the break that Femi got him at 50-1.
I want to say he has like 40, 45-1, 50. I'm going to look up what Femi has. I'm pretty sure he's got a very big ticket on Fields. And like, I love the concept of Justin Fields potentially being in this mix, but I do not like him at 20-1. And I bet a lot of big numbers.
Okay. I'll ask you both then. If I were to give you two players right now, actually, I'll give you three because they're all tied at 20-1 in the market for MVP. Dax 20-1, your boy Tua is 20-1, and Justin Fields is shortened up to 20-1. To give you context, them all, Deshaun Watson's 30-1. Now, I like Deshaun at 30-1 more than those three at 20-1. What do you think?
I would agree with you on that. To me, if you were to just go in order of the four that you mentioned, Deshaun Watson, one, Dak Prescott, two, Tua, three, and then I'd go Fields, four.
Big guy?
Of those three, I am most intrigued by a Tua bet. I am a Tua truther. I think that system is awesome. I think he's got two receivers who pick up so many yak yards for him that he doesn't have to do as much work to look as good. Tua is my guy of that group, followed by Dak, who I think – potentially, I'm buying into some of the thoughts that Dallas could have a massive bounce back season this year and potentially win the NFC East. And if they do it, it would be because Dak has a very good season. And then I'd follow it up with Fields third, just because there's a lot of unknown that you're working with.
I would say last year was such a debacle for this player I'm about to mention that I think, and this is what you're constantly looking for. You're looking for inflation. You're looking for a number that doesn't necessarily represent the player in the market. And I think because of last year being so disastrous, and we talked to him, fellas, with Pritch about this player, because last year was so disastrous, I think Russell Wilson, I hate to say it because I hate the player, I actually like the player. The cornball as a human is really what puts you off about Russell Wilson, but he's sitting in the market at 35-1. I'd love to know his number last year heading into the year, which I'll look up for you. But I just think it's a little inflated at 35-1 based on how bad he was last year. We know he's going to get a bump with Sean Payton in that offense this year. So I'm just taking a look at a dark horse, and a dark horse, certainly 35-1 would fit. 35-1 on Wilson, maybe a little inflated because of how bad Amal he was last year.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would actually say the number's a little bit short based on the way he played, though. I get your point on being inflated. I mean, last year he looked like he couldn't even be in the NFL. But overall, when you see Kenny Pickett at 45-1, some of these numbers on some of these guys are a little bit too short. It's surprising to me you're seeing some of these numbers the way they are.
Look, it's all quarterbacks, right?
Well, no question.
Like all the shorter numbers, it's just they're just acknowledging the bookmakers at this point. If you want to bet on this award, we know it's likely going to be a quarterback 95% of the time, 99% of the time. So every single quarterback's just listed at a shorter price than you would expect.
But playing that game, do you guys know the last non-quarterback that won the MVP?
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, 2012.
Yep, 2012, Peterson. Years. Before Peterson.
No clue.
The CJ last 2K? To do it. Who is it now?
Chris Johnson? Did he not win one?
LaDainian Tomlinson in
06. Yeah.
And then actually remember that was a weird one because the year before was Sean Alexander.
He had
so 05 Alexander, 06 Tomlinson.
Here's the other thing though you need to confirm, and it's generally been the same in terms of the Pro Football Writers and the Associated Press, which one is the MVP based on, because it is a separate award. So that's
I'm just going AP here.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying in terms of the betting market where you're betting, just to confer what it is. So just make sure you check the rules on that. But you know, we're talking about these MVP here, guys. When you look at them historically, Rodgers won, what, three or four? Patrick Mahomes has won a couple. Brady, there's two combinations that are key to winning MVP on the bets. One, obviously, you got to have a great season and individual player. But the second is your team. They've got to be a top three or four team. And when you look at some of these things, I think Dallas, they've been 12-5 the last two seasons. They've got one of the best records over the last 2 years in the NFL, 24-10. They've got an opportunity to be right near the top. I don't see that with the Chicago Bears. I think Miami's in such a competitive division, it would be hard to see that play out that way. You need to take players, and we see the top of the list, Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Hurts. These four guys are on teams that are potentially have the four best records in the NFL.
You know, Cohen, who wrote this up for the guide, and again, there's so much to look at. Make sure you VSiN.com/subscribe to get in line for the guide, which drops tomorrow. But he asked, should any non-quarterback be considered? And he said, probably not, because here's a good example. In 2021, Cooper Kupp didn't win the MVP. That was Aaron Rodgers. Cooper Kupp in 2021 caught 145 passes for 1947 and 16 touchdowns. So it would be, you'd be hard pressed to think you're going to have statistics like that pop any year, let alone this forthcoming year, just because those are mind-boggling numbers. 145 for 1947 and 16 touchdowns for a receiver. That's insane. And by the way, we talk about our, if I were to tell you both right now to give me your top three receivers in football, I'm not sure either of you would have Cooper Kupp. Maybe you would. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but he probably should be more in the conversation. And you think about the numbers he's put up.
You're absolutely right, but he needs a healthy Matthew Stafford to be able to perform at that elite level. And I think every quarterback needs every receiver needs that quarterback to be healthy. To answer your question, I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I think those are those are the three.
But
I'd switch any
of the potential non-QBs to win this award, though. The number one for everyone's got to be Justin Jefferson, and he's 100-1, and you can't bet that because they just added a receiver in the offseason. We all think the Vikings are going to regress this year, so there's no way he tops what he did a year ago, which probably takes him out of the running for this award.
I think it's, you know, the problem is now, and you guys bring up a great point about not betting any non-quarterback. It's the offensive.
Well, I'm not saying I won't.
No, Dustin probably already has. Yeah.
I'm saying it's a bad bet, but it doesn't mean I won't do it.
Do you loathe money?
I love the potential of the bet a little to win a lot.
You must drive to Prim to play the lottery quite a bit.
No, I don't believe in the lottery.
Well, the reason why I say this, the NFL Offensive Player of the Year is the one you can bet on to be able to win. Right? Like Jefferson was the Player of the Year last year. Kupp was the Player of the Year before that. So I think that's the award you'd look for a statistical player on offense that's not a quarterback.
I'm going to give you your guy, big guy, because you're the futures guy. McCaffrey at 80-1.
I thought about it.
Christian McCaffrey, 80-1. Why not?
Well, from the same team, I think potentially I'm going to bet this guy to win comeback player of the year if I can get down here in Vegas. But for MVP as well, Sam Darnold at 150-1 is kind of juicy for me.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Trey Lance.
No, that's literally burning money because I've seen enough. I'm good.
Do we have, we haven't started training camp. Do we have any early reports out of San Francisco what's happening right now with the quarterback position?
Yeah, I just saw a report that Purdy was going to go to Jacksonville and start throwing very soon. So apparently the rehab is going well from whatever. He didn't have surgery, I don't believe. He ended up not having surgery. So as it stands, Brock Purdy's the starter. I know I'm not Kyle Shanahan, but I ain't buying Brock Purdy.
Mr. Irrelevant, the big guy, has made his case. All right, we made our case for the MVP, but not too much. We just gave you a little taste. If you want the full breakdown, VSiN.com/subscribe. The guy drops tomorrow.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Get the hell out of here, Kevin. Kevin's back at... Kevin, usually our sound engineer, he's been hanging out at Circa lately. You'd think he'd be in a good mood being back at South Point with the clientele. We welcome you back here on Sharp Money. Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. I know Kevin's laughing. We do know that. You know who's not laughing? Mets fans. So owner Steve Cohen is threatening his underperforming team. So he spoke today. I know you have a couple of quotes that we can play, a couple of clips. One thing I can say, he did say that Buck Showalter and Billy Epler, who's a general manager, are safe no matter what through the end of the season. But obviously with the biggest payroll in baseball, the Mets owner is frustrated. Dustin, you want to set up the clips here? Let's go ahead and play a little from Steve Cohen.
Yeah, you know, the owner of the Mets is doing his best to let the team know that he thinks that they're capable of getting it done. And despite them not showing us in any way, shape, or form that they are capable of doing that, he decided to meet with the media today, unsolicited, just, I'm going to let you guys know what's going on. So here's the first clip from Stevie C, Uncle Stevie, as he's known to most. Him talking about the season so far for the Metropolitans.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's been incredibly frustrating. listen, I watch every game. I see what's going on. If you ask me, you know, would I have expected us to be in this position at the beginning of the season, the answer is no. But here we are, and, you know, hopefully we can right the ship. And we have quality players. For some reason or another, they're not gelling. When we pitch well, we don't hit. When we hit, we don't pitch well. It's kind of weird. I mean, it's actually very strange to me. And I don't know if the players are anxious. I don't know if they're pressing. I mean, I assume that that's a little bit of that. We see a lot of mental errors that what I call enforced errors. Obviously we can clean that up. We've lost games because of it. And there's nobody to blame. And it's really across the whole team.
I freaking love it. I can't get enough of this guy.
The hat's my favorite.
That guy's the best. He was sitting at like a little Mets table that looks with a bottle of water, and his tone was like somebody asked him, "What's up? What are you doing this weekend?" He was just like, "Yeah, you know, I don't know. Might kick it around. Might make meatloaf on Saturday. The rest of it is, you know, like his tone is so awesome that I didn't care about the Mets before the clip. Now I'm all in. Let's play another one.
All right, here's his second one.
This is a Major League Baseball owner, by the way. Just when you hear this clip, understand the context. This is one of the richest people on the planet that owns the Mets. Check out the tone. Set it up.
Known as a killer in the stock market
community. Yeah, billions. He's the reason the TV show Billions was made, and this is his tone. Go ahead, big guy, set it up.
All right, he was asked about the outlook of the rest of the season.
You know, obviously, we came in with higher hopes and, you know, making the last wild card or whatever, but that's where we are, and so the season's not over. I'm preparing my management team for all possibilities. If we don't get better, you know, we have decisions to make at the trade deadline. And that's not my preferred end result. I'm preparing all contingencies. And we'll see where it goes. It's on the players.
YOLO. Are we sure that he tweeted that yesterday? And are we sure that he knew he was supposed to speak today? Because it does appear that somebody just shoved the mic in front of his face and said, go.
I just wish someone would have said, why? Why are we doing this right now? Like, why are we all here? Why are we gathered to listen to you speak?
He has Amal Shaw third hour of the show vibes about him right there.
I felt like it was somebody who got off the 7 train and you asked him, he said, how's the season going? Oh, we play well defensively. We don't hit. I mean, it was
no,
just,
by the way, he said nothing that I haven't said on the show. He's literally
no,
just
I was going to say,
well, I think he heard
he's
the show.
A sharp money listener. Yeah, because no that question. Quote about when we hit, we don't bat. When we bat, we don't hit. Like that. When we pitch, we don't like that was you, big guy.
He's literally just me, but like he would cancel his Peacock subscription though if he wasn't using it.
No, actually, he would just try and buy the company. Oh, speaking of Peacock, Patrick mentioned their CEO got fired, NBC Universal, and it was actually over an affair with a CNBC correspondent. Hope the affair was worth it. It cost him $43.2 million in stock options.
Damn. Little TMZ close the show.
Yikes.
It's funny. What's funny about what you just said is it was probably not too far from the truth, Dustin. You said Steve Cohen, what is he worth, Amal? Probably, I don't
12,
know.
12
how many
to 15?
Okay, 12. 12, let's just say he's worth 12 to 15 billion. And I'm not saying this sarcastically. He probably, as rich as he is so fastidious about his finances that he would, even as a billionaire, cancel a Peacock subscription. That's the difference between rich people and poor people.
So
no matter how rich they are, they don't change their tenants. They don't change the way they approach finance.
His net worth as of about a year ago was $17.4 billion, and his company he owns, the firm, is worth $27.2 billion.
And he owns a hedge fund?
Yes, a hedge fund, 0.72.
So for anybody that talks about hedging and sports betting, all we have to do is look to him for the right answer. Yes. Yes,
do it. You should definitely do it. He's made a living on it.
Real quick, I don't know if you guys know the backstory. The show Billions originated because I'm pronouncing his last name wrong. Preet Bharara, I think, was the prosecutor, the U.S. attorney, who was trying to nail him for insider trading.
Paul Giamatti.
Well, on the show, yeah. But the guy who was Cohen's right-hand man ended up getting 7 years because there was a drug that was being developed, and it was going to fail. It wasn't going to get FDA approval. And so they were going to lose about, I don't know, $300-500 million on it. So they decided to go the other way on the drug in terms of they had purchased the stock, but they shorted it.
So essentially betting against it.
100%.
Even though they were in on it at the beginning.
So to Patrick's point, that's why I don't understand the argument against it. These guys put $500 million in. They were trying to unload everything on the short side of it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, I don't think the three of us combined, given 10 years in a room alone together, could come up with what actually a hedge fund does.
Nobody
has been ever able to explain what a hedge fund is.
They're
even
exempt
hedge fund managers.
Exactly right. Some of these guys charge between 30 and 50% to manage money.
I've seen Boiler Room. I'm smarter than all those guys. Vin Diesel's smarter than me. Yeah, maybe.
Well, let's move on. Dustin's top 10 guilty pleasure videos. This will give you credence for being the smart one. Working out, WWE history. Number 5 explains how smart you are. Number 8, pyramid conspiracies, literally the pyramids. Blackhead removal, I can't even read it out loud and not get disgusted. And now we get to 6 and 5. These are your guilty pleasure where you find yourself falling down a rabbit hole.
Yeah, I can't stop watching. So number 6, there are two specific guys. I don't know the Turkish guy's name, but I know the Indian guy's name. Number 6 is Indian/Turkish head massages. For whatever reason, these two countries have awesome head massages. This guy named Cosmo does the Indian ones. He does all these crazy things, and they smack your head around and get the blood flowing and make you feel good. They look so relaxing. I literally watch them and I relax. And then the Turkish head massage is really more of like an upper body massage. They're digging into your arms and your shoulders. They're hitting you with things. It looks awesome. It looks
like
you're
pampered to a T. Can I ask you a question,
though?
You're talking Indian and Turkish head massages as a guilty pleasure video.
Yeah.
Can massage be at any point on the rest of the list? Because I know you're obsessed with just straight up realignment videos and cracking backs and that type of thing.
So massages won't be on the list, but something else similar will be on the list.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to ask.
That's why I put these two together. It's a good question.
Not to parse you. And then number 5 is ear cleaning, which is disgusting.
Oh, no. Fun fact about me, I've had to go to the emergency room twice because I dug so far in my ear with a Q-tip that the tip broke off and they had to remove it with pliers, pliers.
Stop.
That tells me a lot of things that I was missing before.
My ears itch a lot. And you got to go in and you got to scoop it all out. I've bought every device on the planet pretty much to get junk out of my ear. I have the cleanest ears ever. There's never any wax.
That is worse than nails on a chalkboard thinking.
When people get these giant lumps because they don't ever clean their ears and it comes out during the ear cleaning videos, it is so satisfying. Oh, my God, I'm going to watch them right after the show.
You couldn't pay me to watch that.
It's so good.
That's
disgusting. They just work on it and work on it. You're like, oh, no, that's it. It's going to come loose. You're going to get it. Oh, my God, we're almost there. And then it takes a while, but eventually it does. Oh, it's the best.
I didn't even know 5, 6, and 7 people actually videoed this stuff.
This list says a lot about you, Dustin. I'm not sure what it says. I just know it says a lot about you. And we're not even done yet. Fellas, have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sharp Money.